Now, last week, Venice held its breath as the giant MSC Opera cruise ship lost control, colliding with a smaller cruise ship and a dock. I don't know if you saw the footage, but it is all over YouTube if you want to look it up. It's pretty nuts. The crash has sparked debate about the effects of mass tourism in areas like Venice, which are small, historical, and environmentally sensitive. Cruisers in particular have been singled out as well because whilst the cruise industry is booming, the economic benefits on the cities they stop at are not quite as high as you would expect. To tell us a little bit more, we're joined by Senior Lecturer in Tourism Management at the University of South Australia, Freya Higgins-Debiol. Freya, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Good morning.
So could you tell us what effects does mass tourism as a whole have on popular destinations like Venice, Barcelona, Dubrovnik?
Well, mass tourism is having a really big effect because we've got more people traveling, and particularly traveling with the mass tourism model, which is trying to experience places on low cost. So they're having impacts on infrastructure and the people who live in the local communities, crowding out the local people. So in Venice, you're actually finding a decline in the local population to where it's now less than 50,000 people living in the historic tourist zone. So the impacts are really big. We've got a term for it now. We're calling it over-tourism. So it's when tourism exceeds the carrying capacity of the destination that the tourists are traveling to.
And cruise ships in particular are being scrutinised for a lot of their impacts, and I suppose bringing some of this over-tourism to some of the hotspots. What is the issue with cruisers in particular?
Well, the cruise ship model for the mass tourism model is that the visits are less than a day. So the tourists are staying on the ship and only coming on shore for brief 6 to 8 hour visits. And the impacts of that are you have thousands of people being offloaded because these cruise ships are like small traveling towns. And then everybody that comes into a historic place like Venice or Dubrovnik or Barcelona are attracted to the same historical sites. And so you get this really big invasion of people, and that's the words being used, is an invasion. And then that model means that the tourists are not actually spending a good deal of money in that local economy because, you know, they have their food and their drink included in the package on the ship. So they're spending very little when they come off for the day trips into the ports that they're calling into. And so local people are finding that the reason that they have, you know, embraced tourism for the jobs and the income that they bring into the economy, that that doesn't actually come from that cruise ship model. And then at the same time, the local people are wearing the cost of the impacts on infrastructure and transport and those costs. And the tourists aren't actually paying in to bearing their responsibility for that.
And you mentioned there that, you know, a lot of these cruise ships are like floating towns, which is quite a way of putting it. But I know that some of the bigger ones, they can fit more than 6,000 people. Environmentally, the fuel consumption for this and the waste that 6,000 people must be putting out on a ship must be huge. Can you tell us about some of the environmental impacts?
Yes, well, they're using dirty fuel. So there is legislation coming in for the shipping sector, which will affect cruises, where they're supposed to now start using cleaner fuel. And that seems to be that many of the big cruise lines are avoiding that, and they're doing what's called scrubbing of the fuel rather than shifting to more expensive, cleaner fuels. So there's that issue. You have pollution because they create gray water and black water, and there are rules about discharging that, but some of the companies are violating that. So recently, Carnival Cruise Lines has reached an agreement in the U.S. to pay, I think, $20 million fine for violating release of dirty water into international waters. And then you've got the dumping of plastics at sea and waste at sea. So, you know, these are some serious impacts, and the cruise lines are being fined. But the question, you know, with such a massive multinational corporations, the fines might not be sufficient to deter poor practices.
And so just before I let you go, Freya, where do we go from here? Do you think that it's up to the local governments of these places to maybe regulate tourism? Should tourists themselves be more considerate? How can we go about trying to answer this problem?
I think everybody has a role. So you're finding places like Venice now talking about legislating so that the cruise ships cannot come into that central canal and that they're going to move them to a town further out and then bus the tourist to the tourist zone. So there are things like that. There's also talk about tourist taxes so that you capture money from these tourists rather than allowing this to occur. And at the same time, the consumer has power because nobody wants to deter people from enjoying cruise ships. You know, cruising is a really good way to holiday. It's good for people on limited incomes or with limited accessibility. So we need the public to be more responsible consumers and to start asking questions of the cruise ship company and putting pressure on them to be more responsible. And of course, when you go on a cruise, make sure that you spend your money in that local economy and don't be a cheap visitor when you go to a destination.
Well, Freya, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much, Tess.
That was Freya Higgins-Debiol, Senior Lecturer in Tourism Management at the University of South Australia, chatting to us about some of the impacts of mass tourism and cruises on popular tourist hotspots.